Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts. All you can eat. Well, I'ma stuff my face to a funky beat. We're gonna walk inside.
If this what's up, put the food on my plate. Add some coke in my cup. Food Wednesday's on The Takeaway. Now, when it comes to environmentally responsible eating, we're told all the time what not to eat. You know the familiar refrain, don't eat tuna because it's overfished, not to mention it's filled with heavy metals. Don't eat Chilean sea bass because it's harvested with bottom trawlers. Don't eat beef because of carbon emissions from cows. But we're told all those things, but we're not usually told what you can eat to help green menus around the world. Would you believe jellyfish? When I said we were veering into the land of the exotic, I wasn't kidding, because jellyfish is the latest green food. And here to tell us what else...
They're tasty.
I hope it is, John Hockenberry, because I got jellyfish salad right in front of me, and I'm looking forward to it. And Eddie Lin, author of the book Extreme Cuisine and the blog DeepEndDining.com, is going to help us with jellyfish salad and lots of other foods as well. We're also joined by Taras Gresko. He's the author of the book and accompanying blog Bottom Feeder, How to Eat Ethically in a World of Vanishing Food. Eddie Lin, I want to start with you. Your specialty is food that American eaters like me might consider shocking, bugs and exotic fruits and fermented foods and the like. What have you found out there that we should consider taking off the exotic list and putting on the kitchen table in order to eat in a more eco-friendly fashion?
Oh, jellyfish is absolutely one of them. In fact, I had a peanut butter and jellyfish sandwich for breakfast.
You did not.
This morning.
You did not.
I swear. I
really?
Did. Yes.
Okay.
Just to get in the mood of things, just like you are about to do.
All right. That's how we do it.
What if I could get my kids to eat that?
Well, seriously, though, jellyfish are a global threat. They're overpopulating the oceans. And the reasons why are there are fewer predators like sea turtles, sharks, swordfish, and certain Pacific salmon, and tuna. And this is directly due to overfishing and global warming as well. And not everything opposes global warming. The jellyfish love warmer waters, and they thrive on it, and they actually breed better in it. But, you know, that means there's just more of them for us to enjoy. So you can find jellyfish, and it's readily available in any Chinatown in America. It's on many Chinese menus at seafood restaurants. And they sort of have a slippery, crunchy texture.
Yeah, they do, because, Eddie, you say that jellyfish thrive in warmer waters. I'm trying to see here as you're talking if humans or at least radio hosts can thrive on jellyfish. And so far I'm doing okay. It's quite delicious. You know, it reminds me of some of the side salads you get with Korean cuisine, some of the kind of maybe kelp-based side salads. It is kind of crunchy and slippery, really nice.
That's a great point. The first time I had jellyfish, I thought it was a vegetable, which is really strange.
Mm. Keep
eat
talking.
Your,
my mouth
eat
is full.
Eat your jellyfish, Todd. Your jellyfish. Finish everything on your plate.
Chew with my mouth closed here. Well,
this is the kind of thing where you keep chewing there, Todd.
Yeah.
You know, this is the kind of thing where if you go to see the Oscar documentary Cove, which is about, you know, the fishing industry and dolphins, you know, you might want to get a snack afterwards. I mean, this is an actual answer to that film. You know, the dinner and a movie, you can do both ecologically sort of responsibly here.
Well, you might get in some hot water there because the directors and producers of The Cove just busted that sushi restaurant in Santa Monica for selling whales. So careful.
All right, so we're on the lookout for eco-eating all around, and I want to bring in Taras Gresko, who's also here. Taras, what other foods besides a jellyfish from the sea are you advocating for more eco-friendly eating here? Maybe some things that Americans aren't used to considering.
Yeah, well, we usually don't eat very far down in the food chain, and jellyfish are definitely far down in the food chain. Something that might be more palatable, though, are sardines and mackerel. Currently,
sardines
we kind
are
of
delicious.
Use those as bait, or we grind them up to feed to larger species like salmon or even farm shrimp.
Right.
And the thing about sardines is that there's a huge culinary tradition. In Europe, they tend to be a little bigger, like the Portuguese sardines are grilled and barbecued with rock salt. And throughout the markets of Portugal on Fridays, there's this amazing smell of grilling sardines.
And fresh sardines are delicious as well. Not the canned brined kind, but just the fresh ones.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And they're pretty big. In Cornwall, in England, they actually bake them into a pie. They call it stargazy pie because there are these six heads of sardines, or pilchards, as they call them, there, poking out of the pie crust, gazing at the stars.
Now, Terrace, we've been talking a lot about seafood, jellyfish and sardines. Do you have anything from the terrestrial world that's working its way onto American plates here, or should be?
Anything from where?
Anything from the terrestrial world, land animals.
Oh, well, my specialty is seafood.
Then let's put it to Eddie Lynn. Eddie Lynn, what about some land animals, quickly?
Yeah, nutria. Nutria in the southern areas of the U.S., especially in Louisiana. Nutria was introduced to control aquatic weeds about 100 years ago from South America. So nutria basically is like an oversized swamp rat.
Right.
And they've overpopulated dramatically, in fact, to the level where they began to displace native wildlife and caused riverbank erosion. So the state of Louisiana, with the help of the federal government, offered a bounty for the nutria, and chefs were encouraged to work nutria into their menus.
All right, Eddie Lynn. Well, nutria is an oversized rat. We have jellyfish, and we have your recipe for mussels on the website at thetakeaway.org. Eddie Lynn from Extreme Cuisine and Terrace Gresko from bottomfeeder.com. Thank you both.
All the bottom feeder recipes you can eat are on thetakeaway.org. We've posted that recipe for mussels. I've got jellyfish on the mind down here in South Florida. I'm John Huckenberry.
I'm Todd Zwillick. It's The Takeaway. I've got jellyfish in my bowl.